Welcome everyone to the LED podcast. I'm the commish. I'll be your host tonight. And this is the official preseason power ranking show.
League of Endzone, Dancers Podcast.
It is Monday, September 5th, which means we are T-minus 3 days from the start of the NFL season. I'm pretty excited. I'm sure everyone else is. And we've got a huge show for you guys tonight. And it wouldn't be a huge show without a huge guest host. And that's none other than the man, the myth, the legend, and now B-leaguer, Anthony LeCicero. What's happening, brother?
Hey, what's going on, A-League? I just let you guys know the B-League is going to start their own podcast, and we're going to have an A-League segment. The B-League's coming up. Yep, the B-League's coming up. Just want to let you guys know that it's getting going. But seriously, man, I miss you guys. I felt really bad about not making this draft. One of those things that got caught up. I had a softball tournament. I play every year. And unfortunately, we didn't win the championship. I was hoping if I was going to sacrifice the A-League draft.
I was going to ask. Get the championship.
So it was very, very sad, sadly. But I did hear about the draft. I heard you guys had a couple boot off that went off. And I really did miss you guys. So
yeah, there was definitely a noticeable absence at the draft. And yeah, I think that was a little weird not having you there. I think it's been something like a decade straight or something like that, that you've been there every August. So we definitely missed you at the draft, man. But I'm pretty sure, you know, judging the way that things have been going and the way we've been getting openings, we'll probably get you back next year.
Right on, right on. Yeah, all I mean, right, this league's almost a four over league, huh?
Yeah, man. All right. So we got a huge show. Like I said, tonight we got 14 teams to run through. It's going to take a while. We hope not take too long on each team, but here we go. Should we just get right into it, Ant? What do you think?
Let's run it.
All right. So just like we did last year, we're just going to go off the Yahoo power rankings because that's just the way we do things. And so at number 14, on the Yahoo Power Rankings is a team name I'm not going to say on air, but that's Mr. Roger Wong. Anthony, any thoughts on Roger being the worst team in the LED?
Well, I kind of want to know what his team name is. Sounds interesting, you know?
I sent it to you.
No, his team, looking at his team right now, I think he kept Tony Pollard.
Yep.
For $11 is pretty good. But yeah, his team looks like he's lacking an RB1 and a WR1. So that's probably why he's ranked down low. Rashad Bateman, Travis Etienne, Dalton Schultz, Juju Smith-Schuster. He's got potential here, but really no wow factor right out the gate. But Roger, he looks like he did his normal late round, couple pickups. I like the Dotson. Julio Jones got his chance for a dollar, and you never know.
Yeah, I'm not super sold on ETN. I think that James Robinson to me was the better value pick. I think people are playing a lot of the assumption game like they were last year. And I just don't know if we can make that kind of assumption with ETN. It sounds like James Robinson is going to be ready to go week one. And so, I mean, this could very well be James Robinson's job still. I mean, we really don't know what ETN's role is going to be. I mean, we're all just kind of speculating at this point. And if he does, you know, do anything, I think Roger might be okay. But yeah, like you said, the wow factor is really not here on this team.
I mean, he has three running backs, Tony Pollard, Travis Etienne, and Ramondre Stevenson. All three of them are number twos on their team, you know? Right.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure Pollard's really going to be that great. I mean, people have been kind of hyping him for a few years. I do kind of like him too, but I think that the hype has maybe gone a little too far this year where he was getting drafted super, super high. And I just don't know if I agree with that, but I do like him. But like I said, at that cost that, you know, where he was going and where he's going currently, I just don't know if I can justify it.
Yeah, I kind of like Pollard this year. I think he's a good talent. I think he's got value on getting some passing work, and then he's got the extra value, the injury value, where if Zeke goes down, he instantly becomes a top 10 RB.
Yeah.
And plus, Dallas doesn't really have much to throw to. pretty much just CeeDee Lamb. And so I'm feeling Pollard might get some more work, but he got him for $11. So nothing hurt there. And then
good picks though. Yeah, but he did get good picks with Drake London, and he picked up Treylon Burks as well. So he pretty much grabbed both of the hyped rookie wide receivers this year, at least to me, the hyped rookies. And so that was good to see, but it may have come at a cost for his overall team and his his overall firepower. So not too bad, Roger.
I mean, $25 for Treylon Burks seems a little steep, you know.
It is a little steep, but I mean, you know, maybe he really wanted him. But you know, I like I said, I'm just, you know, as any consolation, I kind of like those two guys. So all right, yeah, Roger, no, number 14. Roger number 14, moving on. Number 13 is Doug. Any thoughts, Doug? I mean, on Doug's team.
So keeper with Damian Harris.
Yep. Damian Harris, correct? And Brandon Cooks. He kept those two guys.
Oh, and I actually think Brandon Cooks might be pretty decent. I mean, you look at his body of work, the amount of teams he's been in. I mean, he does it pretty much every year, even last year. So for $15, it's pretty good. Derrick Henry, $59. I mean, that's the horn right there. He's the beast. And he went Devontae Adams as well. So I think he can lean on those two guys. Kind of weak at quarterback, Kirk Cousins, Deontay Johnson, Marquise Brown. I think they're mediocre wide receivers. But leaning on Adams, I think he'd be okay. And then his tight end's Noah Fant. So he's got a little bit of work to do on that part.
Yeah, I was a little shocked to see Doug come right out of the gate and spend big money on those two guys with his first two picks. He's usually a little slower, it takes his time in the draft. And he came out of the gates and just started firing. And that was a little surprising to see. But I think they're okay. I don't really hate his team or love it at all. So I think, yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, no, he's got guys to lean on. He's got the two good guys, so...
Yeah, I'll say this ranking is probably fair. So just like last year, I think if there's no glaring reason for me to agree or disagree, I'm mostly just going to say fair ranking on everyone's team. What do you think, Ant? Number 13,
yeah,
Doug?
Yeah. Yep, sounds good to me.
All right, moving on. Number 12, this is a team that I believe I heard you say that you liked a lot, Anthony. This team is Zach. Zach's got Darnell Mooney and Lamar Jackson as keepers, and he grabbed Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, AJ Brown, Chris Godwin, and a bunch of other guys. What do you think?
Yeah, to me, this is the sexiest team when it comes to how he drafted. I mean, if I was at the draft, he wouldn't have got any of these guys. I mean, just right out the gate, I mean, Lamar Jackson, he has potential number one quarterback. I mean, he can run and he could throw. I thought Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones for $53 for Dalvin, Aaron Jones for $45. Looking at what other people paid for running back,
agreed,
I thought that was a great pair, two RB1s. I'm super high on AJ Brown. He's just always been the talent guy. I know people are a little bit scared of Jalen Hurts thrown to him, but I think he's an improving QB, and AJ Brown, he's been lighting it up in training camp. I think Chris Godwin, pretty cheap, still tied to Brady. Kareem Hunt, another solid guy with lots of potential. I think even his tight end, Big Bob Tonyan. You know, who's Aaron Rodgers really going to throw to? And then he threw in some more $1 guys, Rondale
Christian
Moore.
Christian Watson, man.
No, I really like the way Zach approached this one. I think he's got potential up and down it, and he's just got some guys I personally like. I think this deserves a little bit higher ranking.
Yeah, totally agreed. I'm gonna say disagree on this ranking. I think Zach should be ranked higher. I don't think he has any real major holes. I mean, unless you want to call a tight end, but I mean, everyone's got a hole at tight end pretty much. I don't love his wide receivers, but I do love his running backs enough to give him a kind of a pass. And AJ Brown could be good again. I'm not super high on him, maybe as high as you are, but I do love the talent. The situation's good for him, but I'm just always skeptical of guys changing teams, but he might be okay. But like I said, his wide receivers are a little weak, but his running backs more than make up for it. I think Zach should be ranked higher. So yeah, we're both in consensus. Zach at number 13, disagree, and he should be higher. Moving on to number 11. What's up?
One other thing too is, you know, one of the things he did was, you know, I don't love New England, but when you take two guys, Jacoby Myers, I think Devontae Parker's on New England as well. You know, he got both those guys for a dollar. Jacoby Myers is supposedly number one. So when you are weak at wide receiver slightly, if you want to say he is, which I think AJ Brown, Chris Godwin, Darnell Mooney is a pretty good corpse. But the friendship strategy on the $1 players, out of those two guys, one of those guys could become a liable starter. So I do see that working for him. And he threw Rondale Moore in there as well. So I just want to point that out as well, that he's okay. trying to address some of those issues. Things.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Okay. Number 11 is Dirty Mike and the Boys. I personally don't think that Mike, maybe he didn't execute perfectly on his draft. I think he overpaid for some guys, and he came in or he came out of the draft really thin as far as roster size as well. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of concerns here with this team. What do you think, Ant?
Well, let's start from the top. You got Tom Brady. I think he finished number two quarterback last year behind Josh Allen. You got to give Brady. He's going to be top 10. I mean, let's, you know. And he's tied with Mike Evans. So I think having that tied together, you get that those boom weeks together. And then the second wide receiver, he's got Michael Pittman, who a lot of people are saying this guy could be a top five wide receiver this year. And then there's a big drop off there. Really nothing. Chris Olave, you can't really count on rookies. So, I mean, absolute depth there. And when it comes to running back, I love Austin Eckler, but Miles Sanders, he paid $40. I thought that was really expensive, especially when you could get that Aaron Jones for a few more dollars. But you never know. So I think he has some decent starters, really no depth there, and he paid a little bit more for Miles Sanders. So I think where this ranking is probably fits.
Yeah, I'm going to say fair over here too. And, you know, yeah, he does have like a good, you know, Brady to Evans. I mean, that's always going to be a good pair. Evans has been doing it, you know, year after year. But yeah, like you said, when you see that Miles Sanders there for $40, it's just so glaring, and it's hard. It's hard to like that this draft. Maybe not team, but it's hard to like this draft when you see that big 40 there with Miles Sanders. Yeah, I hate that. I hate that draft pick. So yeah, 11. We're gonna go. I'm sorry. With 11 at. Mike at 11, we're going to say fair to that one. Moving on, at number 10 is Stephen Lai. He went A.J. Dillon and Aaron Donald as keepers, grabbed Zeke, grabbed Breece Hall for 50 waiver for 50 auction, grabbed Russell Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and a bunch of others. What do you think, Ant?
Well, right off the gate, I mean, Breece Hall, he's not even the starter. I mean, so you're paying $50, and then he's on the Jets on top of that. I mean, how many times are they really going to score a touchdown, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it looks like a little bit of inflated rookies, which has been kind of a trend going on in LED. I'm guilty of it. it kind of worked out for Amon, but I feel like that kind of is a lot there. I mean, Zeke for 30 is not bad. It's not bad, but looking at the two guys as your two running backs, it's kind of tough because Zeke can kind of downtrending a little bit. He's still going to be the guy. But as far as his RB3, we're looking at Brian Robinson, who apparently got shot and is not going to make it for the next 4 weeks. I like to hear Antonio Gibson's alibi, but
seriously.
But anyway, other than that, though, I think A.J. Dillon has got a lot of upside this year. Aaron Donald's not bad. And Russell Wilson. Gabe Davis is pretty sexy this year with Buffalo. Allen Robinson's a solid value. Yeah. So I think Stephen's okay. I think it's fairly – this is a fair ranking. But I wouldn't rank him really much higher.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say fair as well. I think to your point, he did spend a lot on a rookie running back. And I think – that may have been okay in years past, but under the new rookie tag rules, it is just not as powerful as it once was. And to reach and, you know, to shell out on these rookies, unproven ones. I think this has a lot of potential to backfire. And honestly, I'd rather have, you know, give me Dameon Pierce. I mean, he looks really sexy. You want to talk about sex? He looks really sexy in the preseason. I mean, it could just be nothing. It could, we've yet to see if he really can do it on the field in the regular season, but he sure looks the part in the preseason. But yeah, Steven, I think he's okay too. I don't think he's not going to struggle. Probably he'll probably be all right, but yeah, I'm going to say fair.
Yeah. And he got some cheap guys too in there. So, I like how, you know, throw Nyheim Hines and Jalen Tolbert, you know, have some backup plans towards the back of the draft. Not everyone does that. So he did cover that basis.
Yep. Okay. Moving on to number 9 is the defending champ, Presley. He was the only team to draft a full roster. I thought that was actually a smart move given the severity of his waiver money penalty. He pretty much had the least amount of money coming into that first waiver period. And I think he covered his bases well by making sure that he did not have to rely on waivers at all like others. And, he drafted a whole team. And I think actually Presley did not too bad. What do you think, Chris? I mean, what do you think about Presley?
I think he did great. Considering he started off really bad, he did great. I mean, he had two fantastic keepers, James Conner, CeeDee Lamb, 21 and 24 bucks. Both those guys are second, third round picks. You know, they're both in top. That's good value going in. I think he overpaid for Justin Tucker as normal, $5 for him, $8 for Alexander Madison. I mean, those are kind of mistakes coming out the draft. But after that, he did very well. Clyde for 18.
Right.
James Robinson for 5. I mean, I heard this year he's going to play this week. So even Raheem Mostert for 2.
Right.
I think Presley hasn't been like super strong in these drafts for running backs, but he's been able to manage. So he has been active on the wire. He has been fairly successful. And then, he's got a sexy quarterback with Dak, with CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee could get 180, 190 targets this year. There's no one else to throw to. I don't love Amari, but, you know, he's got some name value there. I also like how he grabbed 2 tight ends with George Kittle and Darren Waller. I think it's thinking outside the box. He's covering that, you know, there's only so many good tight ends. He's got 2 of them.
Well, that's 3 less tight ends than he had last year, though.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So I love Devontae Smith as well. I mean, that guy balled out in college. And then I felt like for a rookie campaign with somewhat of a weak passing quarterback who's improving, I think they're both going to improve. I think he's got a lot of potential there. And Adam Thielen has also been pretty reliable.
Funnily enough, just to interrupt you real quick. But Devontae Smith, he actually paid more for him last year as a rookie. He paid 18 for him last year, ended up drafting him again for 6. So just something to note there. But yeah, sorry.
Right. And then also being the only guy filling out his entire draft. So great job to the defending champ. He's letting he's putting you guys on notice right now. And I think he got a great start.
Yeah, I have to agree. And with that, I'm going to say disagree with this rank. I think Presley should probably be a little bit higher. He didn't spend really more than like $20 for anybody besides the guys he kept. I mean, that's hard to do. And I think he pulled it off quite well. As the draft was going on, I wasn't even really paying attention to Presley's team because it just kind of felt like he wasn't doing anything. And then, you know, come the end of the draft, when we start to look at the teams, I'm like, wow, okay, well, Presley's not terrible here. So yeah, like I said, I think Presley over here at number 9, is it? Yeah, number 9 is probably too low. I'm going to rank him a little higher.
Yeah, I mean, excellent point, though, how he didn't overpay for anyone. He let the draft come to him, and he got quality players. So, kudos to him on that one.
Yeah, and to that point, you know, I think that's what's awesome about auction drafts is that there's just, you know, limitless, you know, different strategies that you can employ. And we've seen all kinds of different strategies have different degrees of success, right? Like this strategy of waiting and letting the draft come to you. You know, we saw Ken Noh do that for a decade and he was pretty successful. He only missed the playoffs once, you know? So You know, there's really no right or wrong way, I think, to approach an auction draft. I think it really depends on your preference, you know, your risk level and your risk tolerance. And, you know, and I think that shows every year. And I think Presley, you know, he pulled this and, you know, maybe it'll work out for him. Maybe it won't. But he's at number nine.
Great point on that. Yeah, great point on that. There is no one strategy that works. I think any strategy could work, and anyone could fail too. So, you know, with everyone's going one way, you go the other way, and it seems like Presley went with the value while everyone else wasn't.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, at number eight, we have yours truly, the Miami Dolphins, the commish. I went Fournette and Waddle as my keepers. I picked up another Miami receiver in Tyreek Hill. Got Chubb, Kyler, my boy, back again. Got Goddard at tight end and finished off with a bunch of other guys. Oh, I got Sutton too. He was actually on my list and on my must draft list, and I was basically saving all my money that I had left at that point for him. And so I had to spend a little bit more than I wanted to. Armand kind of bidded me up on him, but ended up getting him. And overall, I'm not actually too mad at this team. I actually kind of like this team. I think I got, you know, the guys I wanted. I covered the bases that I wanted, and I think I'll be competitive. What do you think, man?
Dude, I like your team a lot. Probably a little overweight on Miami. I think even though you got Kyler, I still felt like you should have picked up Tua. However, you're solid at QB. You're solid at wide receivers with Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Cortland Sutton. You're solid at running backs with Nick Chubb, Leonard Fournette. I think Dallas Goedert is an awesome tight end. I think he's going to jump into that elite level of tight ends. I think he's capable of it. I think you got decent backups with Penny and I guess wide receiver, you don't have much back. Oh, no, Hunter Renfrow. Yeah, Hunter Renfrow.
Yep. So, he was a sneaky little pick.
I felt like you did a pretty nice job at making sure you were pretty solid on all your bases. I don't see any weakness here other than being a little overweight on the same team. But that can go both ways, you know?
Yeah, I didn't want to take Tyreek. It was one of those situations where you end up passing on a bunch of wide receivers and then Tyreek's like the best guy available. And at that point, I was like, you know what? Maybe I can get him for, you know, a little cheaper than these other guys are going off for. And I got him for 45. So, you know, to me, that's pretty cheap for Tyreek, you know, given how much he's usually cost in past years. Right. And yeah, he's on Miami now. And yeah, I do have Jalen Waddle. But I think the fact that I did pick up Sutton as well as a third wide receiver makes that a little, you know, less impactful. The fact that I did throw in another stud wide receiver, well, at least I think he'll become a stud this year. I kind of like my team.
In real life, Waddle and Tyreek Hill are no easy thing to stop. You know, right. I mean, the Miami did a pretty good job in picking up some very, very powerful weapons here.
Yeah.
So Tua's got no reason not to shine here. So hopefully he elevates his game and steps up with what the weapons he got. And, you know, I like Chase Edmonds too, that they went and paid for him. And I think he's a dynamic player as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Okay. So number eight was me. Number seven is my big bro, Steve. Steve kept his boy Cooper Kupp. He kept TJ Watt, who's also really, really good. He went big on Mark Andrews, $40, 42 on Akers, backed him up with Daryl Henderson, grabbed Metcalf, grabbed James Cook, and a bunch of other guys. What say you, man?
Well, the only reason why Steve's got Cooper Kupp is because he saw me bidding on him last year, and he was willing to go a little bit higher than me. Cooper Kupp had a historical season. I don't think it's repeatable, but you still can't take it away from him. The only thing I see here is he has weakness in running back. I'm not in love with Cam Akers, $42. Running backs coming back from Achilles injuries aren't very...
He did back him up with Henderson, though.
He did back him up with Henderson. Fair enough, and he got him for $3. But I think it's a pass-first offense. He's got the pass-first offense in Kupp, too. So I think DK Metcalf is a decent value for $17. I think people are a little underweight on him. Thinking Geno won't be able to get him the ball, but I think he'll be okay. But still, his other running backs, I mean, James Cook, Cordell Patterson, Zamir White. I mean, those guys could be okay, but out the gates, kind of hoping. And Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if he's really going to have a dynamic offense.
Yeah, who's he going to throw to?
Yeah, I think Big Bob Tonyan, or he's going to run the ball, or he's going to try and just eat the clock. So I think Steve should be ranked a little lower than where he's at. I would put your team above him on this one.
Okay. I agree with that. I think I should always be above Steve's team.
I do think Christian Kirk for $4, it could pay off huge. I think Kirk's got a lot of value.
He could be okay. It's definitely not a sexy flex. I think it's probably his only hole. I don't love Cordell Patterson, but it could be a good value given he only paid $17 for him. He's probably less useful this year being RB only eligible. He's not WR eligible this year. Akers does look like a lot. It does. I can't remember, you know, how at what time this draft pick went off. I mean, maybe it was a timing thing, but definitely looks like a lot for Akers, but I think backing him up with Henderson for only $3 makes it okay. But he does have Cooper Kupp still, so kind of like myself, he's kind of stacking one team there. But yeah, I think I'm going to say fair for Steve at number 8.
You know what? I got to throw in his pick on Kenneth Gainwell for $2. And yeah, you know, even though he may look a little weak at running back, you know, with Gainwell, Zamir White, and James Cook, one of those guys is going to break out. So, I mean, and he also got Daryl Henderson. So I feel like his weakness is there, but he addressed it. And I think So I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a good point. I think Steve, it looked like he had a plan to, you know, grab some upside running backs. And I think he did that. We don't know if, I mean, you can't really say these guys are startable guys, but I can envision a scenario where they become startable down the road.
Out of two of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, okay. Good on him. Good on him. Okay. He definitely thought about his lineup.
Okay. All right. Number 7 was Steve. I'm going to say fair. Anthony says disagree. Should be a little lower. Moving on to number 6 is Jay Scheisty, Jeff Wu. Jeff went Saquon and Burrow as his keepers. He went 58 on Mixon, grabbed Gibson, the so-called, you know, what do we call him? He pulled the little Joe, what's his name? The Tiger King dude. He tried to hire a hitman. Perhaps. I wouldn't put it past it.
Hey. You know?
It would be a really smart move. I mean, you know, we were hearing about Gibson possibly returning punts this year. He was getting demoted. There was all kinds of bad notes coming out of the preseason for Gibson. And so, you know what?
I want to hear really, Salibi.
Yeah, he really pole vaulted his ADP just by in one swift move. So, we'll see how that all shakes out. But, he grabbed Gibson for 25, McLaurin, another commander, for 21, Judy, 19, Lockett, 10. Not too bad. Not too bad for Jeff. What do you think, Ant?
Yeah, I mean, going on Gibson, I feel like, you know, Washington Redskins, I refuse to call them anything else, but they kind of told us that they aren't really too happy with Gibson. And I feel like Gibson has played well, but he has fumbled. They seem like they liked Robinson better. So he did catapult up recently. But even if he does well, I don't know if they're really going to stay with him. It doesn't seem like they trust him. But then again, I don't know. You know, he seems like a pretty good talent. He could be fine. I think there's question marks there. Saquon Barkley, he could be the comeback player of the year. He could be the number one. He's still young. He's still super athletic. But then again, he may not. He hasn't looked good the past couple of years. So, you know, that's why he only went for $47. Oh, actually, he was kept. Right. I think he's worth it, but I think there's also question marks there. Yeah. Joe Mixon, pretty solid. He paid pretty good amount, $58 for him. The guy's probably going to be a bell cow in a high powered offense. So I'd be between those three guys. I think there's tons of upside, but a little bit of question marks. And I think his wide receivers are pretty solid. I don't know, McLaren and Judy. I don't know. I think it's lacking a little bit of star power there. I think they're solid. I think Lockett is probably trending down too. So I feel like wide receiver, he's a little weak on. And then I like his tight end, Dawson Knox, for $2. I thought that's pretty solid. And I think Joe Burrow would be pretty good too.
Yeah. He didn't really overpay for any wide receivers. And I think that he ended up with some decent ones. I know you said that you're kind of down on McLaurin. I actually think he'll be all right. I think the talent is elite. He's got an actual quarterback now. And so I think he'll have a good season. I mean, yes, last year he didn't actually do that terrible, you know, given his quarterback situation. So McLaurin, I think for 21, not too bad. Judy 19 and Lockett 10. I think those are all good buys. So Jeff, I don't really see any major holes in his team. I think he's got his bases covered. So I like this ranking at number 6 for Jeff. I say agree. What do you think, Ant? Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I think definitely he's got the potential to be a number 1 team.
Okay. Okay. All right. There it is. There it is. A vote of confidence for Jeff. All right. Moving on to number 5 is the team that took over your team, Ant, Mr. Sunny. He went and kept your boy, Trey Lance, your boy, Nick Bosa, and your boy, T. Higgins. What do you think?
I think those are pretty solid keepers. He made the right decision there. So I hope you hand them back over next year.
Yeah, Sonny, Sonny might have another wedding, and you know, you never know. You might get your old team back. You know.
So definitely he needs to pick up. He needed to make sure he had another quarterback, because Trey Lance, I mean, he could be the best quarterback and he could be the worst. We just don't know.
He does have Tua.
He does have Tua. So so the jury's still out. If Trey Lance come out shooting out the gate, he won't need Tua anymore. But if he if Jimmy goes back in there, he gets hurt or something, then Tua might be useful because he's got some weapons. Elijah Mitchell, $35, not so bad. Travis Kelce, $41. Mahomes really don't have anybody else to throw to. I'm not in love with Montgomery. I think his backup is better than him. D-Hop, he's got to wait 6 weeks. So in the meantime, he's going to have to run out with T. Higgins and Mike Williams, though. But I think those are pretty solid receivers right there. Yeah. Picked up a bunch of $1 guys. Oh, and you know what? He did pick up Herbert, Montgomery's backup.
Right.
So he covered his bases there. You know, I like having the number one, capable of number one QB and capable number one tight end, and then making sure you're solid everywhere else. And I think he's done that. I probably would rank him a little bit lower, just because I don't see the assurance.
Here. Yeah. 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 I'm gonna agree with most of those points, except for the potential for QB one in Trey Lance or Tua. I don't see that happening for either guy. Especially not Trey Lance. I think Tua maybe he scratches the top 5. I mean, doubt it, but I mean, maybe. I don't love Mecole Hardman as a flex, but he does have Hopkins coming back much later this year. So that'll fill that void. But so I don't think he's too bad. I think there's no real holes here. Kelce at tight end is always super powerful. So Sonny, not too bad. But I will have to say I don't think that he's a top 5 team. So sorry, Sonny. I'm going to have to say disagree. I think this should be a little lower. All right. So sounds like you agree on that one. Let's go to the next team at number 4. We got the professor, Mr. Armand, Mr. Consistent. He went with Javonte, Kyle Pitts, and Jamar as his keepers. Picked up Damian Pierce for 24, Mahomes 24. Got Gordon for 21, and a bunch of other cheap guys. What do you think, Ant? Is he worthy of number 4 on this list?
Well, I mean, he definitely had the sexiest keepers. I mean, Javonte Williams, sure. Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase. Oh. Man, I wonder where he got those picks last year from. But anyway,
did you help him out with those or what?
I mean, he made his own decisions.
Okay.
But he continued to get sexier with Patrick Mahomes, 24. Damian Pierce has been a hot item. I don't know. I feel like he overpaid for Melvin Gordon, 21. But he's just covering his bases on Javonte Williams. With Melvin Gordon out of the picture, Javonte Williams easily an RB1. I felt like he continued to fill out his roster with depth. I mean, he already came into the draft with three potential difference makers, and he added Mahomes there, and the rest is just kind of thrown out there. I think it's worthy of this ranking before the draft even started.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just off those three guys, I mean, yeah, I don't know if you could go that far, but yeah, I'm going to say fair here. I do like his team. I think I don't actually think Gordon for 21 is actually that bad. I think he's going to be very startable. And if you get a startable running back for $21, hey, you know what? A lot of times you'll take that. And he does have Javonte. I mean, Armand did this last year as well, where he had Gordon and Javonte. So maybe he just wanted to, you know, repeat that strategy as well. Mahomes for 24 was definitely a good price. I think he's gone for much, much more expensive than that in past years. Damian Pierce for 24, like I said earlier, given that Breece Hall went for 50, you got to love Pierce at 24. I actually think he's probably going to be the better of the two backs. His bench is not, he did fill out most of his team, missed two guys. I don't think his bench is really that awesome. Marlon Mack got cut. Kadarius Toney, people have been kind of hyping him, but that's kind of a, you know, show me first situation for me. He did get Deontay Foreman, who some are saying could be the backup instead of Chuba. So that could come into play for him. George Pickens, I guess that's pretty solid of a late pick. He only got him for $4. So not too bad. Yeah, Armand at number four, we're going to say fair.
To touch on that, I don't know. You know, he has a great WR1, but his WR2 is lacking. He has a great WR1. I would consider Javonte WR1, but even though Damian Pierce is getting a lot of love, he's not the pass catcher. He's the first, second down, like bowling ball. He's not a super high draft pick. He's still a rookie. We don't know. There's a lot of question marks there. I mean, that's a lot of relying on a rookie guy who plays for Houston. I mean, how many times are they really going to be in the red zone? And this guy's not going to get the passing work. Rex Burkhead is. RB2 is in question here. And again, like you said, Marlon Mack is off the team there. So other than his stars, I don't know if, you know, if he really got much there.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. For sure. Yeah. I mean, those are all valid points. Yeah, you're right. I kind of missed that. He doesn't really have a super strong WR2. Yeah. And his RB2, I mean, I guess you can poke holes at that too. But I mean, you could potentially throw Javonte and Gordon out there if you wanted to. I mean, I personally think. Yeah, you might do it. You might do it. Right. But all right.
And
number four.
Tony does have. Yep. All right. Moving on.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Kadarius has potential. Kadarius Toney has potential, but he is a big risk factor, but he definitely can play football. I got, you know, he's shown that last year.
Yeah. I mean, he's got some hype on him. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him do well this year, but I kind of got to like see it first before I believe. All right. So I'm on to number four. Right. I'm going to say, yeah, maybe not fair. Maybe he should be a little bit lower. Given what we just talked about. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to say disagree should be a little lower. What do you think, Ant? Disagree?
You know, I'm going to hold him there because he does have Mahomes and he's got difference makers. And so I think his four difference makers are going to keep him with that ranking. So I'll hold it there.
Okay. All right. At number three, this is a bit of a surprise, but at number three is the team that took over Ken's team. That's JC, who's back after 7 years. He went Debo Samuel, Josh Allen as his keepers, then picked up Najee, got Dobbins, Keenan Allen, Josh Jacobs, Hawkinson, and some other scrubs. What do you think, Dan?
You know what? Looking at the starting lineup, I mean, I like it. Josh Allen, what can you say? You know, back-to-back season, QB1. Not many people can do that. Debo Samuel, an animal. Just an animal last year. Probably won't repeat it, but still a great player. Keenan Allen is going to be Mr. Consistent. You know he's going to get his targets. It's just he's on a high-powered offense. And I feel like he's got three solid running backs. Najee Harris, J.K. Dobbins, and Josh Jacobs. Some question marks on Jacobs and Dobbins going into this year. But you know what? For the most part, they're still going to be the starters on decent offenses. T.J. Hockenson, fairly good tight end. And Albert O, been here making some noise. So definitely I think he has a solid starting lineup. He really doesn't have much bench going on or many upside, you know, upside picks on the cheap end for, you know, the following year. But he needs to do some good management. But I think he's got solid players going into the season.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I think what has to be pointed out is that JC had the opportunity between Debo and Justin Jefferson, and he ultimately went with Debo, which I thought was a weird move. I think the discount was better on Debo, but honestly, I don't know how you could pass on Justin Jefferson. I mean, especially given that he went for $60. I mean, he could have got him in like the low 30s or something like that for Jefferson. And I would have much preferred to go that route. So I was a little shocked to see him go Debo. Like you said, he's not going to repeat what he did last year. I think everybody knows that he's not going to be used the same way where they're going to, you know, he's going to get six rushing touchdowns or whatever the hell he got. It's not going to happen again, you know. And, you know, Debo, to me, he's just not like, he's not like the X receiver. I think he's a playmaker, but he's not the guy that's going to burn you deep. He's not the guy that, you know, is going to leap over you and make amazing catches. You know, he's a yak guy, right? Like, I think his air yards last year was like 8 yards. Like, he was averaging 8 air yards. Yeah. And he racked up a ton, right? It was all yak. And I think to count on that repeating again is just, I don't know, man. You know? And so, yeah, he could be okay. But, you know, a lot of question marks on the Niners offense with Trey Lance coming in this year. I don't particularly love Najee, but he is going to get volume. You know, I think there's some risk there. Dobbins, I think, I don't like Dobbins at all. I think people are assuming that he's going to play and he's going to be, you know, 100%. And I think he's far from it. And I think that the fact that they brought in Kenyon Drake, I think speaks to that concern. So, yeah, a little bit concerned with his RB2. And like you said, not a lot of upside and not a lot going on his bench to, you know, to give him any real outs and any, you know, avenues for guys to pop. So I'm going to have to say, JC, while I don't think his team is bad, I'm going to have to say I disagree with him being the number three ranked team. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, Debo Samuel is the ultimate outlier. I mean, like you said, he his average yards per catch, I mean, everything, and he just took everything to the house. I mean,
right.
he doesn't catch the ball downfield. He doesn't do a lot of things. He's got a different quarterback now. He's also a big injury factor. I mean, the guy runs the ball, catches the ball, and if you look at JC's team, he's got Debo and Keenan. That's it. So, I mean, Keenan's also kind of over the age apex, and it's kind of a little bit on the older side.
Right.
I don't know if you can, you know, if you're gonna factor in injury risk. I mean, you know, the older guys seem to possibly be a little bit more likely, but not having a WR3, Sky Moore is not considered WR3, and he's got nothing else.
Yeah.
So I feel like he did not address that, which he
did have. Pick up Wandale Robinson. But yeah, you know, that's again, kind of waiver wire hype. He's not really a starter, but he's currently starting him in his flex.
So he did not address that weakness in the draft. Therefore, he has to be moved down in my ranking as far as being number three.
Okay. All right. Number two is OG Mike. He went and took over Edmonds' old team, and he kept Stephon Diggs for 33. Got DeAndre Swift for 31, Kamara 45, Thomas 18, Ayuk 16, Herbert. He grabbed Edmonds. I think this might be the smallest team that Mike came out of the draft with, but he's currently sitting as one of the higher projected teams week one projection wise. He's currently sitting just behind John at 140. So number two ranking, what do you think? And is OG Mike deserving of this high of a rank?
Well, obviously, if you look at his team, he had a strategy going in. If you look at DeAndre Swift, Alvin Kamara, and Chase Edmonds, and you look at what they're projected to catch the ball out of the backfield, I would guess that they're all at minimum 75 catches apiece.
Right.
So when you combine all of that, you have the pass, you have the running backs who catch the ball is an advantage. Justin Herbert could easily be the QB1. He's in a very, very good offense. Zach Ertz is okay. I'm really high on Brandon Ayuk. Last year, he was ranked higher than Debo. You get the lower ranked guy with Debo. This year, you get the lower ranked guy with Ayuk. I think he kind of flip flopped him. So he's been tearing up the camp, and apparently he's out of Shanahan's doghouse. And if you watch what he did late last year, his talent's there. And if Trey Lance is the truth, then Brandon Ayuk, who does catch the ball downfield, I think has a lot of upside there. Michael Thomas, if he's Michael Thomas, which some say he might be, but I also heard he's got some injuries.
I doubt it.
There's potential there, but I wouldn't totally rely on that. But even if he didn't rely on Michael Thomas, Stephon Diggs, he's an alpha. He's in the best offense. He's covered there. So I think absolutely Mike's worthy of this ranking, and absolutely he's a manager willing to manage the waiver wire and make sure he's putting out a high-powered offense.
Yeah. I like his team. I think I didn't even think about it, but you definitely have a very good point there. And it looks like he definitely was looking for some PPR backs, and he got that, maybe the best PPR backs that you could have picked up. But I don't love Michael Thomas as WR2. I think that's,
you
think
could say Brandon Ayuk WR2.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon Ayuk, he could be okay. He's getting a little hype this year too. I think Thomas is going to be a bust. I personally don't think he's going to do anything, but I think he's a head case too. I mean, you don't want guys like that with bad attitudes. It's just, you know, it's like he's like a, you know, I mean, maybe he's not.
You.
I was going to say Antonio Brown, but he's probably not that far. I mean, it's hard to go full Antonio Brown. You know,
Diva Riff. Yeah. That has to be calculated.
Yeah,
that's why he went for 18.
I mean, the guy hasn't even played in forever. So, but yeah, I think for Mike, you know, his team does look pretty good. His projections are showing pretty solid projections. His reputation precedes him. So, Mike, and number two, how can you disagree? I'm going to say fair. And fair?
Oh, absolutely fair. Yep.
Okay. All right. And the very last team, I don't think to anyone's surprise, is Mr. God Did, John Abeda. He went with the super, super, super team once again. And he went Jalen Hurts, JT, CMC, Jefferson, picked up Shaquille Leonard, who changed his name to Shaquille Leonard. He was Darius Leonard last year. And Christian Watson and Chase Claypool. And that's it for his draft. And is this the number one team?
Go ahead on this one.
What do you mean?
Go ahead and lead off.
I think it's hard to argue against the number one team for John. I think, you know, the points are going to be there. I think everyone knows this. I don't think it's anyone's surprise, but the narrative is going to be, you know, can he stay healthy? And I think if he can stay healthy, then he's going to be fine. And, but if he doesn't, then he's going to have problems. But if as long as, you know, assuming health, this team's going to have a lot of firepower. I would not be surprised to see it putting up close to 200 points every week. I think, you know, John's pulling off the, you know, the old strategy again, and, you know, let's see if it works.
Yeah. So very few teams I think will ever see an LED or any fantasy team that you're ever going to have the number one ranked, the number two and the number three ranked player on one team. All three of those guys are tremendous difference makers. Christian McCaffrey is like the highest potential projected player on a week-to-week basis of all time. Jonathan Taylor, he's young, he's got the tools, but he's probably more likely to stay healthier than CMC. But on a weekly basis, he's still only going to be maybe one or two points higher than the next guy. Where McCaffrey is going to be like five or six. Just the potential, and Justin Jefferson is also amazing. He's Antonio Brown. Like, we could see this guy showing up top five year after year. I mean, he's very, very impressive. So I think sometimes depth is a little overrated versus difference makers. And this team has historical difference makers starting the season. And I also like Jalen Hurts a lot. He's my QB too. Just like Josh Allen, the first 2 years, we saw Josh Allen come out. And the third year, we're all like, oh, he can't really throw. He can't really throw. And then all of a sudden, Buffalo went out and got an alpha, Stephon Diggs. And all of a sudden, Josh Allen becomes a superstar. I think Jalen Hurts is improving. I felt like he did pretty solid his first 2 years. And what did Philly do? They went out and got A.J. Brown. And with an uptrending Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, one of the best offensive lines, I think Philadelphia is a force to be reckoned with. And I would put Jalen Hurts as definitely a potential QB1. So with four guys, I don't really think you need anything else. I mean, it's kind of like a Mons team. He has the number one, two, number three player, you know. You know, Armand's probably got three guys in the top three rounds. John's got three guys, top three, period, you know.
Yeah. I will say, I think, though, you know, in spite of all of that, I think you still got to look at last year's team and say this team is a lot weaker than that team last year. I mean, he had Devontae and Tyreek last year. This year, he really just has Jefferson and nobody else. He's starting currently Devin Duvernay and DJ Chark Jr. As his wide receivers. And while you do have the top three players, you really don't have much else beyond that. And yeah, you can say depth is overrated, right? But it all kind of depends, right? It's overrated when you don't need it, right? But as soon as you need it, shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? But it's all like we talked about earlier in the podcast. There's so many different ways to play the auction draft, right? And this is one of those ways. And this is a high risk, high reward strategy, right? And if all goes well, John has a legit chance of winning it all, right? But I don't know that I could say that I like this team better than last year. I think he still has a strong team, no doubt. Should he be number one? Probably, right? But is it better than last year? Does he have a better chance of winning it than he did last year? Absolutely not, in my opinion.
No, excellent point. And he had, if you want to throw Jalen Hurts out of there as difference maker, he had four guys. He had JT, he had Henry, and then he had Tyreek and Devontae. And honestly, receivers are more reliable of not getting hurt, you know?
Right.
I can guarantee you, between McCaffrey or JT, one of those guys will probably get hurt. I mean,
it's almost, to me, on CMC, it's almost amazing how high this guy keeps getting ranked, in spite just being a stellar disappointment to so many teams every year, right? He's played 10 games in the last two seasons, yet continues every year to be number one or number two, right? And yes, he is an absolute beast, but at what point are we going to start to factor in the injury risk here, right? I mean, I don't know. It seems like he's one of those guys where just like, where people just kind of like just overlook that point, whereas other guys get really killed for it. And I feel like he's not getting killed for that injury risk. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. But at the end of the day, he's still only 26 years old. He doesn't have like a Todd Gurley injury. And when he has played, he's been stellar. And there's really nobody else really factored in the offense where they're going to take any work from him. And so the fact that he has the potential of being the greatest all time fantasy running back start, I think you take your chances. And you know, I would have for sure trying to back them up though. I mean, anybody getting that kind of workload is higher chance of getting hurt. But he's like having at least two players. He's like having two players. I mean, he averaged like 29 points a game that one historic re- season. Every 29.
Yeah, incredible. No, he's a beast through the air as well. He catches a lot of passes. But all right, I think we have went way over what we projected we were going to go at. So we might want to stop this right here. That was all 14 teams. Do you want to add anything else, Ann?
No, it was good doing the pod again.
Yeah, I forgot to totally, because we were so into this, I totally forgot to throw in a little waiver bonus here. But
let's get it in.
Yeah, for the waiver bonus, just give me your top team that's not yourself, somebody else that's not your top team. Give me your top team, and you get 20 waiver. I'm upping it this year, punishing like everyone it. That doesn't listen. You're missing out. So 20 waiver, tell me the top team in the league that's not yourself, and you get that. And yeah, 3 days to go, man. You excited, man?
Yeah, we got Buffalo and Rams.
And the Rams, yeah. Buffalo's -2.5.
We're gonna go Thursday favorites.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that. Usually, you see the the defending champs favorite. So it's a little surprising they got Buffalo favorite here. I mean, the Rams, you know, they have Stafford apparently ailing. He's kind of nursing something. They're kind of being a little hush hush about it, but it looks like he's not 100%. So something to think about there.
I think we roll with the favorites on Thursdays.
Yeah, maybe.
And then
maybe.
Sunday night, we go with the dog. I think we just blindly do it that way. We got to go Buffalo.
Yeah. All right, Ant. Hey, man, I really appreciate you taking out the time to analyze our teams. You're always the guy that does this, so it was only fitting that you did this again, even though you're not in the league. So thank you so much
for
taking the time to do this. It was fun. I hope everyone has a good season. Everyone has a healthy season. Except for the guys that I'm hoping get hurt and I have on my team. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to this year. It's going to be a good one, man.
Right on, man. Thanks for having me. Good luck.
All right. All right, guys.
All right.
Peace out.